Keep that frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch them fight.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Brantford, Ontario. Waco, Texas, one of my favorite shows, by the way. Not to mention, of course, Wilmington, North Carolina, where Pam lives on the beach. Pammy, what's with you? You already had a tan even before you went to Vegas. We'll talk about that in a bit. UFC Fight Night guys, Nelson versus Ponzinibbio, also known as UFC Fight Night 113. It will be held this Sunday. Pam was saying that maybe we should have a fight companion. I think we should try it, but we'll see how it works out for everyone. Invicta, of course, FC 24. Get your books out for this one. Dudieva versus Barella, which will be held Saturday, July 15th at the Scottish Rite Temple in Kansas City, Missouri. And Bellator 181, which was supposed to be, guys, Valerie Letourneau's Bellator debut, but she's out via injury. That will be held Friday, July 14th at the Windstar Casino in Oklahoma. By the way, Valerie Letourneau, guys, her profile is still up on the UFC site. Let's meet the host, guys. Fighting out of the north. You know what? I should learn, Pammy, that you're officially in the south. I don't know why I want to put North Carolina in the north, but we're going to get it sooner or later, Pammy. Sooner or later, I will learn geography. Blame it on the San Francisco School District. Hit it!
Oh my gosh. Hello, and it's good to be home. I had a blast, but it's good to be home.
Max, Pammy, not to mention, you really were, as Proteus would say, indeed the American woman in Las Vegas. Boy, you look fantastic with your friend. Cue the music, bro. Well, hold on. I won't do it. Now let's talk to the man up north, the man who's the only person that has ever gotten the, I don't know if you guys, a few weeks ago I started doing the whole hit it, which is a direct ripoff of the Beastie Boys saying kick it, and there's only been one person ever that knows where that's from, so I'm going to give it to him. Hit it from the red corner, the man who has his igloo ready with air conditioning, hit it.
What's up?
Hit it!
Mark from Waco, World. Fun because the Queen of Las Vegas with Samantha becoming the other queen, and I'm stuck in Waco, Texas, man. What the hell, dude?
Pammy looks fantastic, you guys.
Oh, thank
Pammy
you.
Looks fantastic.
Thank
you. And she's really good on camera, too.
Really? See, I hate myself on camera, but thank you.
I think you're really good. The funny thing is, that's right, Pammy. We were all proud of you. And although I did tell Pammy this, it broke my heart when she said that we were kind of tough on her sometimes. So this is the first lady.
No, but I told you that was all in fun. I said because they pick on me. I said, but I can kick all their asses, so I don't have a problem with it.
That's right.
Hey,
that's right.
Just a little update. I don't know if we're gonna talk about it later, but the press conference in LA yesterday, it was bland. Today in Toronto, it was awesome. Oh my God, that was so good.
This is starting to heat up. Don't get Proteus all in this, because Proteus can't stand what's going on. Let's hit it, guys. We're gonna fly through this.
I second that.
I will hold my comments till we go to true and false, Marco, because I'm starting to get on Marco's side, and Proteus is going to hate me for it. So I will hold my comments till true or false. Let's get into it, guys. Let's fly through this card. UFC Fight Night 113. And you know what? I was talking to Proteus about this. You know, I always call Pam, and I always call Mark when I say, hey, who do you, what fights do you want to see? And they all gave me the same thing.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's right. All right. Here we go, guys. Let's hit it. This is going to be the who the F is that guy card. Let's hit it. This wasn't easy, but I'm going to give you guys this, guys. Hang on. Before we start this, the tail of the tape, which card? So we didn't talk about this. So literally this is going live right now. You guys have your choice of either Stephen Ray, Paul Felder, Roundtree, and now it's not Round, it's Roundtree, or Craig, or Olivia De Lemos and Smith. We can only do one. Which one do you want to do, guys, of those?
Ray and Felder.
Yep, I agree.
All right, let's hit it. Prados, wait till you hear what I have to say about your boy, McNuggets. Guys, here we go. To the lightweight we go. To the division, Prados.
Yep.
That this is a division of waiting. As Tom Petty once said, the waiting is the hardest part. Right, Prados?
Indeed.
Nothing? All right. Cricket. Yep. All right. Stevie Ray. Steven Braveheart Ray. 27 years young, guy. 21-6. The Scottish Ray, and there's a lot of Scots in this card, obviously. He's a six-fight UFC veteran, guys. He's 4-1 in his last five. He will fight Paul, the Irish Dragon Felder, 32 years young, and no, he was not in Pee-wee's Playhouse. I know everyone tries to say that. Nope.
Boom, boom.
He was not Randy in Pee-wee's Playhouse. Look at him, kid. 13-3, the American Ginger Felder is out of Rufus Sports. I didn't know that. He is 3-2 in his last five, guys, and 3-3 in his last six. He has eight fights with the UFC. And by the way, before we go to the one and only Proteus, does anyone know why I call Proteus Prados?
Because you're like Floyd Mayweather and you can't read? Not really. I'm
thinking. Very good, very nice, Pam.
You like that?
Very nice. Funny. Proteus, will you tell her why I call you Prados?
Because Goz calls me Produce.
Produce?
No,
oh my gosh.
If you, Proteus misspelled his Twitter name, and if you read it, unlike Floyd Mayweather, I actually can read and pay my taxes. If you read it, it reads Pro-a-dos. So, anyway, that's it. Like anyone cares. All right. Cue the music on that one, Prados. All right. We go to Prados.
Okay.
Hit it.
Well, listen, guys. I mean, like you said, it's TJ Who Your Mama on this fight card. But in this particular fight, I mean, Stevie Ray versus Paul Felder should be a pretty good fight, guys. I think that Stevie Ray fighting out of the camp that he does, and I believe, Marco, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he's still fighting out of TriStar in Montreal, or did he train in Scotland for this one?
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor? Okay.
That's the rumor. I'm not just seeing Tommy Toho when he does the Megan Anderson. That's the rumor.
I gotcha.
Ooh.
I gotcha. I think that Stevie Ray is going to have a little bit of the hometown advantage on this one. I think a lot of the fighters on this card are going to want to prove to their countrymen that they are, you know, tough and they are winners. I'm going to take Stevie Ray. I don't have a lot of technical breakdown on this one, guys, because who knows what's going to happen. You got two young studs going up against each other. I'm going to take Stevie Ray with maybe second round TKO.
Nice. All right. So Prado starting it off. Interesting. I know, right? going with Stephen Braveheart Ray via TKO. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, do you agree with Prados, or will it be the Irish Dragon?
We're going to go with Defensio right away. I still remember when the Irish Dragon came into the UFC. We had a lot of fanfare, you know, a lot of expectations on this kid. And I still believe he does have that potential. Steve Reid is a really good grappler, but his striking game hasn't come along as quickly as you know, people would like to. On the other hand, Paul Felder is, he's not great at anything, but he's good at everything. So he's a good striker, he's a good grappler, he's a good wrestler, and I think because he's the better overall fighter, he's going to have the edge on this fight. Steve Ray can make it interesting in the beginning because he's going to try to take it to the ground, but I think he's going to burn himself out by the first end of the first round, and then Felder is going to take over. Felder is a better kickboxer, like I said, not great at anything but good at everything. And I think his overall skills are going to take over. He's going to decision Steve Roy 29-28 unanimously there in Scotland.
Wow. All right. So, Marco, sticking with the American Paul Felder, we go to the beautiful Pam. Pammy, you know, when I was at the studios in Las Vegas, Gigi said I had a face for radio. Nothing helped her. All right.
This is so funny.
Go ahead. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pammy, what say you?
Okay, so we have Stevie Ray and Paul Felder. You know, I actually had this like a little asterisk. I think this is going to be a fight of the night.
Wow.
Ray is coming off of two wins, Lauzon and Ross Pearson, but his last submission win was in November of 2014. He has 9 first-round finishes, but his last 3 wins have been by decision, which makes him a decisionator. He is a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. On the other hand, Paul Felder, he is a second-degree black belt taekwondo with a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He does have losses to Trinaldo, the doctor stoppage, split decision losses with Ross Pearson and Barboza. This guy likes his spinning shit, and I am going with Paul Felder with the second round TKO.
Wow. All right. So we're really going to split on this one. So Marco going with Felder via decision. Pammy going with Felder. Did you say a TKO, Pam?
Second round.
Second round KO.
TKO.
All right. TKO.
KO or TKO, yeah.
Second round TKO or KO. Proteus. Mm-hmm. Going with Stephen Ray via TKO. Thank God we're actually. You know what, guys? We should do for our picks. We should do something where we lose the loser of the picks. The one that has the worst record has to either do a rap or sing a bar of some song on the show. That'll make us actually care.
Who had who won last week? Who had the best or the worst card or picks last week or for this last card? Do you know?
It wasn't. I didn't have the best. That's for damn sure. So it might have been me. I'm gonna go with Proteus on this one because I'm not kidding, guys. I don't know why. Every single time I remember watching Paul Felder, I remember him losing. Yeah, I know he beat a junkie favorite, Alex Ricci. Via TKO in that Lewis versus Brown. I know he beat Berkman. I know he beat Darren Cruikshank, but I don't know why I always picture him losing to Edson Barboza, losing to Pearson. Heck, I think even Marco beat Ross Pearson once. I don't know why. I think Paul Felder's record, Proteus, I think it's a fraud. I know it's 13-3. I see it, guys. I see that it's 13-3. But if you go to SureDog, shout out to SureDog. If you look at his last 6 guys, he's a 500 fighter. So I could be wrong on this one, but I'm going with Prados on this one. I'm going with Pammy in terms of second round TKO or KO. But I'm going with Prados on this one. I think it's going to be. I think a lot of Scots are going to win this night, so I'm going with Stephen Ray. Nothing, guys. Can you guys hear my dog panting, by the way?
Okay.
Yeah, second round TKO. All right, here we go,
so
guys.
You agree with me 100%.
I agree with Prado. It's 100% on this. Yeah. We go to the beautiful Pam and I'm Pam. This is going to be interesting because we're going with Cynthia. I'm too much of a badass to have a nickname Calvillo. 29 years young, guys, 5-0. What turned out to be surprisingly, guys, to me, the breakout star, female star of Team Alpha Male, guys. I thought it was going to be all PVZ, but it turns out Cynthia Calvillo is the one that's 5-0. Kind of Diaz-ish, right? Proteus kind of has a little bit of that ghetto fabulous, sort of, right? So obviously she's 5-0 in her last five, 2-0 in the UFC. Both of those victories coming over, I hate to say this, Prados, to two of the women that I like the best, Pearl Gonzalez. Oh my gosh. Shout out to Pearl. We're not going to cue the music. And Amanda Bobby Cooper. She will fight, Tammy. Joanne. JoJo Calderwood would seem to be one of Marco's favorites, believe it or not. 30 years young. I don't think Marco has ever picked against Calderwood. I could be wrong. 11-2, guys. Scotland's own JoJo does have a record of 11-2, but she's 3-2 in her last five. Losing, of course, recently to Jessica Andrade. In that stretch, she beat the likes of course Courtney Casey and Valerie Letourneau. Tammy, we go to you. Because I have a face for radio. We go to you, who has a face for
okay.
TV.
So, I think this is going to be a fun fight, but since you said we're like speeding along, I'm picking Cynthia Calvillo. And only because, Joanne Calderwood is a great striker, great Muay Thai. She's coming off her first-round loss to Andrade. And all her losses are by submission. You turn around and look at Calvillo, and this girl is a submission artist. Although she is a striker, she is going for submission. She's the number one ranked female amateur fighter in California for 2 years, 4 times the amateur champ. Her last two wins have been by submission. So, like I said, she's 2 inches shorter, but she only has her reach is only. Joanne is 65, hers is 64, so she's not, she's got a pretty decent reach, but I think, like I said, she's going for submission, and I've got Calvillo with the second round submission on this one. Go Team Alpha Male!
Damn it, Pammy, you're going to make me change my mind. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados, will it be Cynthia Calvillo? And, of course, shout out to Josh from Ontario, because there will be no Careless Whisper tonight, or will it be JoJo Calderwood, Proteus?
We can't get a little Careless Whisper for JoJo? Come on, man. Come on.
Really?
Oh, for sure. Have you heard her speak? Have you heard her speak?
Hold on. I think we have that drop. Marco, get the drop ready on JoJo Calderwood calling for Proteus.
Proteus, I think... Yeah, my baby takes the morning train. She takes the...
Never mind. All right, hit it, Proteus.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh, that is a riot.
DJ Tony's channeling his best cold coffee impression. Way to go. I don't think I've ever picked against JoJo either. She's on Team Proteus, that's for sure. I think, again, Cynthia Calvillo might be a little bit overmatched here. I mean, she's probably going to be the smaller fighter as far as I can see. I mean, I saw her at UFC 210 the last time she fought DJ Tony when she broke your heart and she beat your girl. I think that JoJo's going to have the advantage here, and I think that she's, with her extended time being at TriStar Gym, fighting in her home country. Again, like we had mentioned earlier at the top of the show, I think she's going to have that Scottish pride, and she's going to pull this one off, probably going to pull it off early, Tony. Now, you know what? I'm going to go third round submission. Thank you, Tony.
Wow, third round sub for JoJo?
Yep, that's what I'm going with.
Wow, Brody is going with a bold prediction. Son of a gun, we will go to another man that I don't think has ever bet against JoJo. We go to Marco from Waco. Marco, will it be JoJo or will it be CC?
It's always the first time, brother. You know, like Jason Knight is Kick Diaz? You know Jason Knight is Kick Diaz? Cynthia Calvillo is Chick Diaz. I love this guy. Freaking, Chick Diaz is outstanding on the ground. JoJo, for all his her acumen as a Muay fighter, she's a better striker by far because we haven't seen too much of Calvillo striking. But this fight goes to the ground. Cynthia Calvillo have outstanding flexibility, and I think she's going to tap out JoJo Calderwood. JoJo has a massive wake up to make 115. She says it herself. She's waiting for the 125 division to come out because that is her more natural weight class. So that is why she's always a little bit depleted on her fights when at 115. I am on the high three with Cynthia Calvillo. Chick Diaz is the real deal. I like she fight with a chip on her shoulder, and I don't think anything is going to be different. There is a lot of promotional push behind her, too, and I've seen for the first time when it comes to a prospect that you see is getting it right. Cynthia Calvillo is going to get a second round submission, and it's going to upset a lot of Scottish people out there because I do like JoJo Calderwood. She's going to do good at 125, but tonight this fight is not her fight for her to win.
Wow, this is surprising me, you guys. Pam killing it with the analysis, with the submission. Cynthia, and not Cynthia with a C-Y, not Cynthia with an S-I. Nothing Proteus? All right. Proteus going with JoJo with a third-round submission. Marco matching Pammy, and he's also going with the second-round sub. Honestly, guys, I was going to pick JoJo on this one, but after she has only lost via submission, guys, and I think Cynthia doesn't her name may be Chuck because I don't think she gives a you know what, but I just don't think that
Chick Diaz.
You know what, guys? I'm going with I got Proteus, Pam, and Marco swayed me. I'm going with them, guys. I'm leaving Proteus on the island. I'm going with a second round submission as well. And I'm going with Chick Diaz, also known as Cynthia Calvillo, not Cynthia with an S-I, even though we're not her type.
Hey,
all right, guys.
I'm telling you something. If the co-main event podcast gives Robert Whittaker and Bobby Knuckles, we will give Cynthia Calvillo Chick Diaz. We're going to push this shit.
That's actually a good damn nickname, by the way. All right, let's go. Let's move up to the man who gave Cynthia Calvillo a nickname. We go to the welterweight. We go. Santiago Ponzinibbio, 30 years young, guys, 24-3. The Argentinian Team Noguera product. Believe it or not, guys, he's just more of a striker than he is. I know you're thinking Team Noguera, right?
Mm-hmm.
13 TKO or KO victories, guys, to his record. And he will fight one of Marco's favorite, Gunner, Gunny Nelson. 28 years young, guys. 16-2-1, guys. What can you say about Gunny, guys? He's an all-around fighter and a Renzo Gracie black belt. That's right, Proteus. I said Renzo and not Renzo. Nelson is a 9-fight UFC veteran, 3-2 in his last 5, guys. He's on a 2-win win streak because I actually thought he was going south, right? Nelson, last 2 fights, of course, victories over Pammy, cover your ears, Joe Bond, and Chumanoff.
Oh, no.
His only UFC losses are to Damian Maia and Proteus's favorite, Rick Forestory. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Ponzinibbio or will it be your boy, Gunny Nelson?
Well, Gunny's not my boy. He's right. From Iceland. I'm more boys with Ponzinibbio than anything. He's Argentinian, you know? Right next door from Chile. Dude, every single
he can point to the fact that Garanazo should win this fight. He's a heavy betting favorite. He's on home turf, quote unquote, you know, like he trains in Ireland. He should win this fight, but I'm going to ride with Santiago Ponzinibbio. Ponzinibbio is not just a good striker, he also got a great boxing record. You know, he was a boxer before he was an MMA mm-hmm. fighter. And I think he can pressure Gunnar. If he goes to the ground, it's curtains, you know. But Ponzinibbio has shown a knack for being so resilient. And you have to literally knock this guy out to get him out. And nobody has been able to do it in the USA. And he has, he reminds me a lot of a better version of Fabio Maldonado. A good boxer, you know, that just keep coming and coming and coming. For one reason, it's just a gut feeling. I seen this Argentinian guy, got something for Gunny. He's going to have to chase Gunny a little bit, but he's going to be able to crowd him and get the cage. And eventually, you know, put his combinations that are actually really good. Like I said, if I'm thinking with my head, Gunny should win this. But I'm thinking with my gut on this one, and my gut is telling me, Ponzinibbio is going to pull an upset with a third-round TKO. Even though it's a five-rounder, it's in a third-round TKO. Everybody's going to be surprised, and Ponzinibbio is going to arrive.
Darn, you guys are taking me by surprise. Marco going with a third-round TKO for Ponzinibbio. Tammy, do you share Marco's enthusiasm for that pick?
Well, I like, you know, I like Gunner. He's a submission artist, grappler, submission, brown belt karate, black belt by Henzo Gracie. Black belt, losses to Maya and Rick Story came by decision. But I am actually going with Santiago Ponzinibbio. I'm picking him for decision. He is a 93% striker, so 93% of his fights are striking. He's coming from American Top Team, home of the champion. Four straight wins. His loss was to Larkin in 2015, so 2 years ago. He's got 13 first-round finishes. He's also a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but I think he is aggressive. He's strong. His movement, he has great movement, and I don't see this going to the ground. I think it's going to be a striking match, and I have Ponzinibbio by decision.
Wow. All right. Marco taking Ponzinibbio, third round KO or TKO. Pammy going with Ponzinibbio via decision. Proteus, I ask you this.
What the hell's going on out here?
I'm not sure what the hell is going on out here. Proteus, we go to you. Proteus, will it be Ponzinibbio or will it be Nelson?
Well, I mean, both of them make good cases for Ponzinibbio. And if you go back in Ponzinibbio's record, I mean, his last loss is in June 27th of 2015. And that's pretty good, man. I mean, we're in 2017 right now. Anyways, I think like Marco is saying, if you're going with your head, you think that Gunnar Nelson is going to win this fight for sure. And I'm going to stick with Gunny here on this one. I think that even though he's, you know, kind of spotty in his record over the last, you know, 3 to 5 fights, you know, with, you know, 2 losses in 5, like I said, 2 out of 5 fights he's lost. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. I apologize. I'm going to go with Gunnar Nelson, though. I think Gunnar Nelson showed that his striking has improved in the last fight against Jobin. What a beautiful finish that was to that fight. And that kind of sticks in my head, Tony, if I'm going to be honest, sticks in my head. And the way that he'd finished that fight, you know, with the head kick and then patience and then getting the choke, I think that he can do that again. And Marco brings up good points about Ponzinibbio that, you know, he's a very good boxer. He's got them long arms as well. But you have to go with the proven commodity. I think the guy who's been fighting top contenders more often, and I think that we can go with Gunny on this one. I'm going to go second round submission again in this one, please, Tony.
Wow. All right. So Proteus not even waiting to the they're good and sweaty. Proteus going with the second round submission. Boy, that sounded wrong. Good Lord. You know what? There's no way I can do it, Pam and Marco. I can't go against Nelson. And it's not the group, Nelson. There's just no possible way, guys. If you see who he's beaten, he beats strikers, guys. And to me, Ponzinibbio is more of a striker. He beat Jovan, who's a striker, Chumanov, who's a striker, Damian Maia, of course, like Proteus is, the human Jansport, beat Brandon Thatch, beat Horror Story, who's definitely a striker. I don't see how we can do it, guys. So I'm going with Proteus on this one. I think it's going to go into championship rounds, but I think I do think Nelson gets a sub. If I have to pick, guys, let's just say fourth round submission via Cedric, and I'll play this for Prados. I can't do it, Prados. I got to go with the Nelson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I can't something without what? That's right.
You're so cheesy.
The Nelson.
Oh, my God, that's so cheesy.
Yeah. I'm going with Gunnar Nelson, guys, via fourth round. Let's go fourth round sub. Championship round submission for sure, but I'm going fourth round submission.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's do a spotlight fight, guys, because I'm curious to see who on this card with I think Proteus, aren't you and I on that card?
Yeah, we are. Nope. We're going to fly into Scotland tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we go ladies first. Tammy, what is your spotlight fight of the night for UFC Fight Night 113?
My spotlight fight is going to be Henry and Timur because it's like the battle of the shadow people. I want to see who wins.
Oh, my God. So Tammy going with people that don't even have a photo, right? Oh, my God.
Who the fuck is that
guy? Yeah, it's going to be like a surprise, you know? So I'm like, oh, that's who that is. Okay. So why not?
Good Lord.
Surprise.
Well, that's a good one, Pam. We go to Proteus. Proteus, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
It's funny that they don't have a picture of Daniel Tamer up. I mean, he's fought in the UFC before. That's weird. My spotlight fight of the night is going to go into the ladies on the early prelims. I'm going to go with Leslie Smith versus Amanda Lemos. I'm just a Leslie Smith fan, man. I like to see her fight. You know, if you want to talk about a Diaz, that's one right there, man. You know, the peacemaker, she's bringing it. So, as I said before, I always like to see Leslie Smith fight, and that's my spotlight fight of the night, Tony.
Right on.
Well, she brought it last time, Proteus. She brought it last time when I saw her live in Sacramento. Man, she beat my girl, Irene Aldana. No careless whisper, but I do like Irene Aldana. Irene Aldana. We go to Marco. Marco, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
I'm looking forward for the Parojas versus Neil Siri fight. Siri, at one point, you know, a lot of people got high hopes for the guy. He's been up and down lately. But I think this is the one fight that he's actually going to come out and show up again. So let's see what Neil Siri can do against this guy, Parojas. That's my spotlight.
Is he like 50? How old is this guy?
Ouch.
He is. Oh, 37. That's, Dios mio. That's a Irish 37, man.
Oh, you know what? I was going to bring that up in the true or false, but true or false, doesn't Mayweather look the same age as Conor?
Yeah.
Okay. Forget it. Never mind. All right. We'll save that. All right. I'm going with guys, and I'm going to be a little salty here, guys, not because I don't like Khalil Roundtree, but I'm going with Khalil Roundtree because he forgot the D. I'm going in Khalil Roundtree's retirement fight for the UFC as he will fight Paul Craig. So I'm going to Khalil Roundtree's retirement fight in the UFC.
You know what I wanted to see on that fight? I want to see him do a suplex. Even if he loses, I want to see him do a suplex.
Not bad. Not bad. You guys didn't like that retirement fight, huh? Proteus, nothing?
No. I did.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got nothing there.
So funny.
All right, guys. Let's go with this.
We go to Bellator 181, guys. Boy, I ruined it on that one, Proteus. You know what? I don't even know which one is the one that I like using. Is it this one? Hang on. Yes. Proteus, we go to Bellator 181. Campos versus Gertz 3. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Pam is a big fan of Brandon Gertz, I think. He's not the one with the missing teeth, but I'm losing Proteus here. Derek, the Stallion Campos, 29 years young, guys, 18-6. Campos is part of a smaller camp, guys, known as Molar MMA, maybe because he'll be missing a molar after this fight. It also houses one of my favorites, Jin Yu Fry. Nothing? Okay. One of my Invicta favorites. And look up this one, guys. I'm telling you, look up this one. Amber Stotzenberger. Just look her up. Campos, of course, 3-0 in his last three, 3-2 in his last five. He's on a run, guys. His last loss to Brandon Gertz. His second fight via a KO. Submission loss to Michael Chandler, but I think I lost to Michael Chandler via rear naked choke. Brandon Gertz, 32 years young, 14-6. Gertz is a 9-fight Bellator veteran, but has unfortunately lost his last two to future star Adam Piccolotti, and that guy is a future Bay Area star, not joking, and Fernando Gonzalez. Funny enough, guys, before Campos, he had gone into a three-fight win streak, beating Derek Campos, Melvin Gallard. I think Proteus beat Melvin Gallard. And Benny Madrid, right? We will go to Proteus. Right? Proteus, will it be the Stallion or will it be Gertz?
Well, to be honest with you, Tony, this is a tough decision here for me. I mean, the loss to Gertz, again, was back in 2015. You know, rematches are always, you know, kind of a tricky thing, but the thing that keeps popping in my head is Derek Campos. I'm going to take Derek Campos. I think this one goes a distance, guys. I can't see any kind of finish happening here. I'm going to take Derek Campos by decision.
Well, we've seen that before. Proteus is right. Yep. Proteus going with Derek Campos via decision. And, of course, like Marco would clearly say, this is Bellator. It's only three rounds for the main event. So we will go to the one and only Marco. Marco, with only three rounds, will it be Campos? Will it be, I've heard this thing before many times during my single years, Gertz. What say you, Marco?
Wah-wah again. Man, so Bellator gave us a pretty decent pay-per-view, you know, a few weeks ago, and then we got this shit show. But, you know, Campos, man, he's a younger fighter. Rematches, like I said, they never quite go the same, and you always got to favor, you know, the guy that is on the rebound. I'm going to pick Campos just because I think he's the guy that probably is more of the upswing. You know, Gertz, I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't seen him fight. I do not know. I've seen Campos fight. I don't know. I haven't seen Gertz fight at all. And I look him up on YouTube, and I'm like, well, where is this guy? Can't find him. So just because of my research, I'm going to pick at Campos, and I'm going to pick him up on a unanimous decision on a three-round fight. On a very underwhelming and underperforming Bellator card that I don't see too many people are going to watch because, really, they don't got the pop or the name value up there right now for it. Hopefully the next Bellator is better.
Wow, Marco being kind of hard on this card. And you know what? I agree with you after the last one. I agree with you. So Marco, of course, going via decision as well, and he says probably a lackluster card. Pam, what say you?
Well, I didn't. I told you this is one that I didn't pick, so I'm just kind of going as Proteus would say, gunned in my head, and I hope I have no regrets about my decision.
Very good. Very good.
I'm gonna go with Campos as well. You like that? I'm going with Campos on this one. I'm going just spot by record alone. I'm going by decision.
Gosh, you guys are really being hard on this one. Yeah, that was fantastic. Very Tony-esque, I will say. I agree with you guys. Only because we've already seen this before, as Proteus says, we've seen this before, right? Boy, we're all stealing from Proteus tonight. Maybe because I've heard his shows for the last 2 days in edit.
By the way,
heard your show in the last 2 days. Yeah, good work.
Proteus, by the way, awesome freaking shows that you put out the last couple of days, man. Highly impressed.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Featuring the First Lady of MMA, you know, right on the grounds of Las Vegas. And
That was a fun show. Oh, my gosh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, that was.
And, what's the name of your guest yesterday? Danny?
Danny Austin,
yes.
Danny Austin, exactly. Danny Austin, Texas, whatever. You're doing some work, brother. You're doing some work. Attaboy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, nice job, Prados. Yeah, I'm going with all of you guys. I'm taking a decision, and I'm going with the Stallion, which is something that I haven't been called. All right, let's move up to one of my favorites, guys, which is the women's. You know what? There will be no Careless Whisper tonight, though. But let's. You know what? What the hell? They are in Fight Pass. To Invicta FC 24 we go, guys, Saturday. So remember, we have Bellator Friday, Invicta Saturday, and the UFC on Sunday. This is the battle, Proteus, of who the F is that girl? Because we clearly know who Milana Dudikova is. I've given her a Careless Whisper, but I have no idea who Mara Romero Barella is. I actually asked Paul, who is Mara Romero Barella?
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's right.
What?
And then I asked, and then I asked Proteus, and he goes,
man, duh.
I guess. Okay, the Italian Barella, 31 years young, guys, 8-4-1. I think that's the same record I had in MMA in my dreams. The Italian Barella will make her Invicta debut fighting a Russian that has actually an Italian last name, Milana Dudieva. Barella will be fighting at her regular weight class, guys, at a flyweight. Barella is, of course, 4-0-1 in her last five. Milana Dudieva, 28 years young, guys, 11-5. Dudieva, formerly with the UFC, traditionally has fought at bantamweight, maybe because they didn't have a 125 class. She was 1-2 in her UFC, her last two fights being, you know what, maybe we can cue the music for one of these. Juliana Pena and friend to the show, Marion Renault, via TKO losses. She did beat my girl, Elizabeth. She's going down in weight for this class. Maybe actually this might be her real weight class. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco. Will it be who the F is that girl or who the F is that girl?
Oh, well, actually, I know who Dudieva is, and she was a high, you know, prospect for the UFC when she came in. She's actually a really good fighter. I mean, she lost to scrubs. You know, Juliana Pena is the number four freaking bantamweight in the planet, and then Mariana Renault is a perennial top tender. So she's not a scrub, but she gave an honest fight in those two fights. The other girl, don't have a clue who she is. You know how Shannon Knapp does? She goes and finds those gems out of nowhere. Because I don't know nothing about the Borrelia, I'm going to pick up Dudieva. I'm going to pick her up on a decision. It's a three-round fight. I'm not fighting for anything, really. You know, maybe you're right. Dudieva's a natural weight. Probably is 125 because she was always an undersized bantamweight. And she's probably going to do pretty good on this fight. I'm going to pick up Dudieva by unanimous decision, 30-27.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, she's fought, and then Elizabeth Phillips is who I completely lost. I don't know why I have an inkling for Elizabeth Phillips. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Milana Dudieva?
No, don't even ask me, because I didn't even look that one up, I swear. So, I'm sorry. I was looking at other fights right now. I'm looking at fight schedule, but now I'm listening to y'all. But I'm truthfully, I didn't pick because I told you
I was so tired, and I did my pick in between patients today. So as soon as they would go to the back, I'm like, pop up my UFC and my SureDog, and I'm doing my research. And then a patient would come in and go, how can I help you? And then to do my system. I didn't do that. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
Awesome. All right. So Pam and I, Proteus, will choose in the spirit of friendship. Pam and I will choose Milana Dudieva just because we know who she is. We will go to the one and only Prados. Prados, finish us up here with the picks. Will it be Milana Dudieva or will it be Mara Barella?
Yeah, Tony, I think I have to go and plead ignorance here as well, to be honest with you. There's like you said, it's TJ, who's your mama in this event, in the main event here. We have an unproven commodity, somebody we don't know, and of course there's one girl that we do know. So I mean, we have to ride with her, right? We have to ride with Dudieva, whether or not we want to or not, because we don't know who the other person is. Because, like Marco said, Shannon Knapp just finds them gems, and maybe Barella will be a gem. We don't know, but we have to take Dudieva. And of course, I'm probably going to agree and go with the safe bet, like Marco did, and go with a decision win here. Honestly, again, just because I don't watch a ton of Invicta, I have to go with and be very clear with you guys and be upfront. I'm not really sure who either of these ladies is. Who they are. I have heard of Dudieva, but the other lady I have not. So I'll go with a decision win for Dudieva.
Hey, on a side note, this Invicta card, on a side note, this was the card that Megan Anderson was supposed to headline before she got pulled to fight Cyborg, and then when they pulled Megan Anderson, Tania Avenger was supposed to headline it, and then Tania Avenger got pulled to fight Cyborg too. So this is the side that Cyborg screwed up. Blame Cyborg!
Yeah, boy, way to save that card, right? Thank God it's in Missouri and not in California, where we'll be. And as Proteus said, I'm going to ride with, as Nelly once said, Proteus, if you want to go and take a ride with me, nothing? Okay. Go three-wheeling. All right. Never mind.
My goodness.
All right.
You're supposed to sing it.
Do you guys know that song?
Yeah, I do.
You know why? Because I don't have the worst record.
Must be the money.
Absolutely. All right,
there you
guys.
Go.
We're going to play our true or false. Ready? Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
True or false? We go ladies first, Proteus and Marco. Pam, true or false? Pam had her greatest MMA weekend to date.
True.
That's not really one of them. All right. True or false? And I'm sorry to put this in here. Proteus is going to completely kill me on this one, but I was with Marco watching this. True or false, or rather, true or false? It is Conor McGregor has a 25% chance of winning that fight with Mayweather. Pam?
I'm not even paying attention because, you know what, the amount of fucks that I could give about this, I'm not even paying attention. So I'm saying no. False.
I agree.
False.
Proteus, same thing. You agree with Pam?
I don't give any fucks about it.
Mm-hmm. Either, yeah.
Marco!
We give no fucks.
The only person that cares besides me, Marco, the other two give no Fs. Marco, what say you?
Like Conor McGregor says, I really don't give a fuck.
You don't care either? Wow.
No. McGregor says that, but I do give a fuck. Conor McGregor got a chance, dude. And for all the freaking boxing fans and knuckleheads that said Conor McGregor doesn't have a chance of knocking out Mayweather, go suck a freaking left ball.
Lemon.
There is a chance. A lemon. Whatever. I left lemon. for anybody that Don McGregor was the Jose Aldo fight or the Eddie Alvarez fight, he got a bunch of chance. And the hype for this fight is unreal, dude. Oh my God, 15,000
embarrassing.
In Toronto.
Oh.
Showed up for this thing. And whether you like it or not, Produce, and I know you say it's embarrassing, this is and that, but at the end of the day, I've seen it's good for both sports. I was watching the whole show on Fight Pass, you know, Showtime Sport, whatever, and they're showing highlights of MMA, highlights of boxing. This is a spectacle, and enjoy it for what it is, man. I enjoyed the shit out of it. And today, that press conference was gold. It was gold. A lot of a very pro-Conor crowd, too. I wasn't expecting that, but very interesting. But yeah, I think he got a 25% chance. A lot of people give him no chance. I say he's 25 and under on his possibilities. If the MMA gods gives two fucks about this fight, McGregor is going to be able to land a left hand and change the complexion of combat sport.
All right, guys, we have 8 minutes, so let's try to get this through here. Okay, true or false, Bellator is becoming a true threat to the UFC because it continues to sign UFC talent. Pam?
Oh, I agree. I agree. They just signed Musasi. Oh, my gosh. How fun is that? And not only that, is you know what? When I watch Bellator, I love watching, looking at the different sponsors. Their walkouts are so much funner. The crowd, I mean, UFC has good crowds, but Bellator has freaking fun crowds. Do you remember when the caveman came out and everybody did that statue thing? It's just fun. Bellator is fun. Yeah, do you remember? And I do. I think within 4 years, I mean, they're going to be a really, really a stiff competitor with UFC. And I think because also maybe the tickets for Bellator aren't as expensive as they are for UFC, you know, so a lot of people are, you know, with all the new talent they're getting, a lot of people are going to go start watching, going to the Bellator fights. I want to go to a Bellator fight.
Me too.
Proteus.
Bring it to Canada. Sorry.
For right. Sure, right? I mean, well, you know, we'll get in there. Proteus, do you agree?
No, is it true or false? Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys listen back to what Danny Austin said on our show last night when I asked him the same kind of question, it's a very incredible. I mean, I think that this acquisition by Bellator eclipses them taking on Rory McDonald. I think that this right here, this signing is the biggest signing for Bellator this year. If you can take the number 4 middleweight by the UFC standards, by their own ranking system, just because you don't want to pay him what he thinks he's worth. And there's a lot of stuff coming out, you know, that he has said, that Musasi has said about, you know, the negotiation process and how much money he was asking for. And he's like, I'll be happy with just even getting half of what Vitor Belfort gets paid. You know, that's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with here. And he also said, you know, it's not the fighter's problem that this corporation, the new ownership, cue the music, Tony, that the Empire is paid way too much for the UFC and they are in debt. They need to be able to pay these guys. They need to be able to pay the guys who are at the top of the divisions. And I thought it was also very, very interesting, the article that came out on, I believe it was Monday, by Ben Foulkes. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Ben Foulkes stating, you know, this is where the best used to fight the best. This is not happening anymore, Tony.
Mm-mm.
I believe it's true. I believe that Bellator is coming up. But I think also, Tony, that this is calculated by the UFC. They want for Bellator to be a major player. They need for Bellator to be a better player because of the class action lawsuit that they have against them right now. I may be going on a little bit of a rant, so I will stop talking. Thank you, Tony.
Can I add something to that?
Feel the anger.
He also signed
and they were trying I thought that they had set up the fight with him and Rockhold, and he said no, and he signed with Bellator.
He's making $10,000. $10,000 off the Reebok money. Mm. For a guy who has 50 fights, a guy of that stature, that is ridiculous. Thank you, Tony.
You're a member of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Yes, I am.
Oh, man. I know, and I love you for that, brother. But, as usual, I'm going to put my USB hat on, and I'm going to disagree with you guys. No, Bellator is now becoming a true contender. He's by far the number two best promotion in the planet. Yes, it is. But it's not.
I also agree with this argument, by the way.
Yes. One fighter does not make a division, Proteus. Who the hell is he going to fight in the middleweight division in Bellator? Tell me who. If he goes a middleweight. One fighter doesn't make it. It's an excellent signing. But all he's going to be able to do is start feature fights. Maybe if he moves to light heavyweight, Kim will kick his ass and strive for a light heavyweight. I mean, let's get real here. I love Gegard Mousasi. So he's a contender as a middleweight in the UFC. See, why were they going to pay him more money? And good for him. You know, go for you know, what you think the pastures are greener. That is your career. You manage it any way you want. But one fighter does not a division make. Who is he going to fight in the middleweight division in the US in Bellator? Is Ronnie McDonald going to go to 185? That's one fight. That is the same. That you guys get excited about this one-off. Great. But when Bellator start giving a fuck about the champions, that is when maybe I want to start caring about Bellator. Right now, those belts that they got in Bellator, they're just trinkets. They mean nothing. At least the majority, I'm not going to say all of them because Demetrius Johnson got that wrong, but the majority of the UFC champions get the alternative pay-per-view points, and they actually get paid pretty good freaking money. That's what Amanda Nunes, even though they did her wrong this weekend, is not too happy for the fact that she's not getting paid, because she was looking at $250,000 just on her show pay alone, besides pay-per-views. I'm going to go around on this too, because, you know, the UFC is doing a lot of things wrong, but they also do a lot of things right. And one of the things they're doing right, whether we like it or not, is putting together with Floyd Mayweather Promotions one of the biggest freaking events ever. They're going to make so much money on this freaking event with Conor McGregor. So much money that it's going to erase any freaking deficit they got for the whole year. Not the quarter, not the next quarter, the whole year. It's prize fighting. We're in the business of money. And guess what? The one guy that won the game is Conor McGregor. He's going to make a lot of money. The U.S. is going to make a lot of money. Don't forget, I'm going to say this, but Floyd Mayweather is going to make a lot of money. Shelton is going to make a lot of money. That is why there is no pay-per-views on August, because they clear the way for this one fight. And then we get the freaking July card, the July 29th, John Jones, Cormier, freaking Cyborg, finally, fighting Tony Erlinger and Woodley Maya. Give me one event that Bellator can pull something like that. Mm-hmm. One event, just name one. So when Bellator is able to make an event like that out of their roster, then it's becoming a competitor. Right now, solid number two. I'm never going to deny that. Watch out for 1SC there in Asia, because those guys are making moves. They are the big dog on a big pond in Southeast Asia. Here in the United States, Bellator solid number two, but not sniffing the heels of the UFC just yet. So let's stop our roll, and I'm rooting for Bellator to do good, because it's good for business, it's good for the fighters, it's good that they get options, it's good that they can go somewhere else and get paid. But let's stop our roll and look at pragmatically what is happening and what the reality is. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Tony, may I interject real quick?
You go ahead, brother. I run the show. You go ahead. Interject, please.
So my concern with Bellator making all these moves and paying all this money and doing these big shows and putting on pay-per-view events is that, as we've seen in the past, promotions that go against the UFC tend to overspend. They tend to spend themselves out. And yes, Viacom has a lot of money, and I've said this before, and I apologize for repeating myself on this show, but I'm very concerned with Bellator spending the money that they're spending. I wonder, guys, I wonder if the UFC is forcing Bellator to overpay. And we see this happening in other sports, right? We see it happening in, you know, basketball or whatever sport you choose, whatever major sport you choose. We see that, you know, sometimes sports teams will make the other team pay a lot more. I mean, if you take, for example, we in Toronto, we traded Andrea Bargnani to New York, and we made money off of that. And Andrea Bargnani is not a very good player. So it does happen, and I wonder if the UFC is doing that, whether or not they're forcing Bellator to pay more for the free agents than they're worth. And, I'm going to leave it there because I'm going on a rant again. So, Tony, please take it over.
I also worry not on the Bellator side, but on the Viacom side, because Spike TV is going to become Paramount soon. And you know, MMA fights are creatures of habit. Where is Bellator going to land? You know, and that
Who
is
knows?
A big move. Exactly. Bellator is a Viacom property. They own Bellator, so. If Viacom decide that they want to fold Bellator, they can do it because they own the property.
Yeah.
When they put the right guy in charge of it, Scott Coker. But let's not forget, you know, we make gripes about, you know, WNEING on the USC with all the money they pay. They pay a shitload of money and they're going to make a return on investment. Viacom got Bellator for cheap. So, right now, they're saying that they're doing good in ratings, but if they don't put them on a platform where people are going to, like, find them out and watch, Bellator can go the way of the dinosaur too, man. So, that's just my worry with Bellator. Okay, now we can move on.
Yeah. I thought we were just doing all right,
guys,
here. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, no, but I want you guys to that's the intent of this, is for you guys to sort of go off. But, all right, so let's go with this one before we end it. Because we really are on fumes here. I know Proteus has to go, so I want to make this as fast as we can. What I had was, will Frank Mir join Bellator, or will he go elsewhere? So we're going to put that on hold for now. But I did want to go into this because I know Pammy has something to say about this. And by the way, my intent with the Bellator was just them becoming even a solid number two. It was never to take over the UFC. It's to become a number two. And frankly, I said this years and years ago, even before we started the podcast, for those that are MMA junkie listeners, I called in and I said, hey, I'd rather be a bigger fish in a smaller pond where I'm happy than to be walking on eggshells with Dana White and friends. And this was well before the sale and before it even got crazy. So anyway, and believe me, I am not going to go on an anti-Dana White rant rave, because that's why we'll never get credentials to any of their events. So I'm not going to go off on the UFC. That's for damn sure.
Because we have the MMA Journalists Association. We'll get in. Don't worry.
Yeah. Hey,
we are part of the MMAJA.
Ariel
Helwani, what they did to him for the Showtime gig he got this week, man. That sucked. He was supposed to work with Brendan Chopp and Malanagi.
No, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, well, he's still covering the thing. They can't deny him credentials for
that. He's still covering it, but he's not making as much money as he should have been, is he? I talked about this with Danny Dawson, too. It's whatever. I don't want to get into it again.
Me
I apologize,
off.
Tony.
Me off too. Yeah, you're right. On this one,
all right, well,
I'm 100% with you.
At the risk of ticking off yet another person, true or false, guys, get ready, Pam, get ready. Many UFC fighters would have fought at UFC 213 and not sat out like Amanda Nunes, because unlike, as Proteus's Primetime and Danny Austin were talking about, unlike Matt Mitrione, who was not medically cleared, Amanda Nunes was medically cleared. So true or false, you other UFC fighters would have fought at UFC 213 and not set out like Amanda Nunes. Tammy.
Did I tell you I met Joe Schilling?
Yeah, we saw that.
Yes, you did.
Cue the music for Pam.
Cue the music.
And
for
the
Pammy, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't know. I don't know. I know that supposedly Joanna said that she would have stepped in. But let me go back to this. Okay, she was in the hospital all morning. I had seen video or pictures of her, and she's got all this stuff on, you know, trying to make a weight cut. And so this is my thing. Okay, she did get medically cleared. Apparently got medically cleared. Okay, so how many of you would go and spend the day in the hospital, whatever ailment you had, and then, okay, so for example, when I had a baby and I had my surgery and the doctor cleared me to go home, does that mean I'm going to go fight for 5 rounds? No. So it just means she was medically cleared, yes, but that doesn't mean that she was feeling well or feeling up to par. Now, if she would have fought, then you take the risk of putting yourself in danger because you're not up to your full potential, you know. So do I think somebody else would have stepped in? I don't know. I don't know because at that time it was so late. It was Saturday afternoon. So I don't think so. I don't think anybody else is going to step in, to be honest.
Well, what I meant by that is, let's just say, for example, someone like McGregor would have gone in at not 100%. That's what I meant. Meaning other champions would have fought anyway. And Amanda, my point was, did Amanda not fight, I guess? I ruined this one. Did Amanda not fight because, not because she's afraid, like I know Proteus and Danny Austin were talking about this, which is the reason why I brought it up. Everyone keeps talking about fear, but there's different types of fears, guys. There's fear of losing money. There's fear of no longer being champion. That's the kind of fear I meant because like Ronda Rousey said before, everyone says they want to be champion until they actually become champion. That's what I meant.
So
in other words, other champions would have fought.
Would somebody else besides her be I don't know. You know, I can't answer that because, you know, if you're in the hospital and, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on ego, I guess. So then they could say, oh, I was fighting on a broken leg or whatever when they win. But I don't know. That's a hard question to, I would say no. I would say no. Okay, no.
Okay, so false. Prados?
Yes. Oh, false, yes. I mean, yes, that's false.
Okay. So, you got my blood boiling a little bit there, Tony. There when you were talking. Would another champion have taken the fight in the same conditions, or is it the same conditions, or just having been medically cleared?
In the same condition, correct.
Okay. So, I thought that Ben Fulks brought up a great point. I keep bringing up Ben Fulks on this podcast, but I think he brought up a great point on the CME podcast this week. They did discuss this as well. Medically cleared.
Shout out.
You're right. Medically cleared just means that they are testing for things that would stop you from fighting. Yeah, broken bone, broken hand, infection, you know, that kind of thing. Now, Amanda Nunes, would have been, I think she's in a very unique spot. It's her ailment has been documented that every time she fights in Vegas, she has a very, very hard time with her sinusitis, I believe it's called. Would somebody else have taken that fight being medically cleared as a champion? I think, Tony, if we're going back to the days before the medical insurance, yes. However, I think in today's day and age, if you're not named Cowboy Cerrone, you probably turn down the fight, even though because this was a last-ditch effort, obviously. Amanda lost a lot of money on this. She did not get paid. She had to go through a fight camp. As Ben Foulkes stated, this was a last-ditch effort. You know what I mean? She clearly knew all of the downsides of not taking the fight, and she chose to go that route. So I think that pre the medical insurance, Tony, yes, the champion would have taken this fight. Post medical insurance, no. I think if anybody else was in her position, they wouldn't have taken the fight. Especially
all right,
Tony.
Yes,
especially
sir.
Tony in the way that the UFC is treating everybody right now, and the way the UFC fighters, the air that we're getting, I don't think that anybody would have taken that fight. Sorry, I apologize. I know my words are very concise right now.
I think that McGregor and Joanna Champion would have, because they're the only people that are being treated great. but
that's
UFC.
True. Good point.
As a degreed accountant, I will say this, because it drives me crazy when people say that Amanda Nunes or any fighter that doesn't fight, not just her, anyone, it drives me insane. And I can say this, that someone that has a degree in freaking accounting, she did not lose money. She did not earn money. It drives me crazy when people say that. She did not lose money.
Yeah.
She did not earn money. That drives me crazy. I'm sorry when I hear people say that.
You're right. You're right.
You are so stupid.
I'm going to correct you. She did lose money because she has to pay for her training camp.
She didn't lose money. No, she didn't lose money. Remember? Her agreement is.
Yeah.
Right. That she owes them.
If you pay $20,000 for a training camp, that is like the minimum a champion has to pay for a training camp, to pay the trainers, to pay the facilities, to the nutritionists, and $20,000, that is money that is not coming back to your pockets because you didn't get paid. So that is money lost. So yes, she lost money on this one. I disagree with you on that one too.
Get him, Tony.
Incorrect. She didn't lose money because that's on a contingency basis. She may, in fact, have to overpay the next time she fights for those people. We're going off on the wrong tangent.
No. Go. Finish it.
I am going to give my opinion on this.
Go ahead.
I am so on the fence on this because I got in an argument with Kim Mo when he was in Junkie about this thing. I put myself an example. You know, I was a veteran, you know, in the war, and no matter how I felt, I still get to put my body up, my boots on, pick up my rifle, and go on my missions, whether I was sick, you know, hot, it didn't matter. And I volunteered for that shit, I understand that. Now, Amanda also volunteered for this, and she signed a contract. It is unfair for Shevchenko, it's unfair for the promotion, it's unfair for all the freaking... people that went there to particularly see her, you know, enter here, bam. She spent a lot of money for those tickets, and somehow she got found herself inside the freaking place anyway. Good job. I don't know how you did it, but I'm so proud of you.
No, wait a minute. That's a story.
Yeah. She gets her money back, and then she goes see the fights for free. Go figure. But so I am on the fence. Yeah, she should take care of her career, and I understand that. But it is a condition that by her own, you know, she herself has said that she has fought with this condition before. What is the target of fighting again? I mean, it's a girl that you beat before. You got
okay, hang on, wait a second. Hang on one second here. this bothers me. This bothers me right here. Have you had a cold before, Marco?
But I got sinusitis before. I know exactly how.
Okay, hang on one second. And is one time worse than the other?
You know what? It is.
Or are they all the
really
same?
Weird.
Are they all the same?
No, they're not all the same. You're
okay. Done.
It
go on, Tony.
You know what it bugs me?
It is ouch.
The fact that she never came up front ahead of the freaking news. She left the U.S.
Would you, Tony, or Marco, let me ask you a question. If you had Dana White staring down your throat, and would you admit, at least she came out before she fought. Would you be happier if she fought and then said, you know what, I had sinusitis, I felt bad, and that's why I lost the title? Would you feel better about that?
Everyone does that, though, Proteus.
No, but she didn't. She did not.
At the end of the day,
she stuck up for herself, and she canceled the fight because she did not. You know what, Tony? Let's just end the show because this is going to end up another 40 minutes.
All right, let's end with this one.
Let me be the peacemaker. Anyways, guess who messaged me today? Guess who messaged me today?
Oh, I know.
Tom Galicchio. Tom Galicchio. And he said that I wanted to have him on the show, and I messaged him, and I guess he's en route. So he said he's going to message me as soon as he gets home so we can set something up.
I'll have good news on that route as well, guys. I have good news on next Wednesday as well. We should have Angelo Reyes to talk a little McGregor. To talk a little McGregor Mayweather. So I thought I'd surprise you guys with that one at the end. But we should have Angelo Reyes, guys, next week. So let's end on this. Let's end on a good note, guys.
Oh, well, let me tell you something else. I got to tell you my stories. Oh, my God. I've waited all week to tell you my five stories, my biggest stories. Oh, my gosh. So,
a whole show on Monday.
Well, I know, but it was with Tony and Marco. It was not with us.
Yeah, but we can do it on Sunday show, too, though. We can do it on Sunday show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's end with this, guys. True or false? And I stole this from a lot of stuff from Chael Sonnen this week. But Justin Gaethje, true or false, had the best debut in UFC history. Now I'm going to play the music as we're leaving. So true or false, go, Pammy.
True. And I got two pictures with him.
Proteus.
No, because he was already a champion somewhere else coming in. It was a very, very good performance, fight of the year, but no. If he was coming in as like an 0-0 fighter or a younger fighter or a prospect, then that would be a better UFC debut. He had a very, very good debut, but I don't think he had, you know, the best UFC debut ever.
Damn, Marco.
I say true. The guy's a bomb. He told you exactly what he was gonna do and succeeded.
Oh boy.
Right now, I love the guy. And you're right. He was a rookie. Then he would have been even more fantastic. But a lot of people said he was gonna get knocked out by Michael Johnson, and he didn't. I am on the Gaethje train, man. This dude is the real deal. What I thought
took him three tries to do his backflip, though.
Ouch!
He stuck the landing.
Did you see him? Did you see him the first time? Just run to the fucking cage. That was hilarious. Boom!
I know.
Darn. He almost knocked himself out. All right.
Exactly.
Let's end with this, Marco. End your show.
Okay, guys. You know the deal. Follow DJ Tony at I Am DJ Tony. Follow my buddy Produce at Produce. Follow Pandora Vlogs at Pandora Vlogs. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and reviews on iTunes, Knuckleheads. You know, watch the fight. Enjoy the fights. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week.
You know, that's one thing we don't ask a lot, which we should, by the way. We definitely need, you know, our numbers are, we're still at well over like 1,300 downloads per episode, but we certainly need reviews, guys. So if you guys can do us a favor and hit that down, this, there will not be a Proteus's prime time because he did one on Tuesday. We're still working on Sunday. Tammy brought up maybe we do a fight companion. I think that would be a great idea. So we'll see what we can do there. I know Proteus has worked too many shows this week, so I feel for him on that one. Just like Marco said, and like that, we're gone, guys. And like that, we're gone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Man, duh.
Who the fuck is that guy?